So let's start by just acknowledging that while we talk about militarism, there certainly are a lot of things that make it so deep-seated and prevalent in our culture. But one of them is the fact that there is a ton of money to be made from selling weapons to the government, from selling other services to the Pentagon, from building and operating prisons, and from all sorts of things that we would see as being contrary to good public policy. But because there's so much money to be made, and because the under our system, exacerbated by the Citizens United decision of 5 years ago, exacerbated by this huge growing inequality issue that we've got in this country, where the billionaires and ultra-billionaires are getting richer and everybody else is basically losing ground, we've got this situation in which those who are benefiting from the status quo, those who benefit from a militaristic system, those who benefit from government contracts to build prisons and build weapons, can recycle the money into more weapons and more prisons and more tax cuts and the things that benefit them that don't benefit the society. So right now in AFSC, we're using the term key driving factors. So we would say right now that corporate influence is a key driving factor behind militarization and excessive incarceration. And we can, let me just give you, Lucy, a couple of examples of that.
Great.
We had a guy named William Hartung did a few talks in the state last week, and one of the members of Congress, as he talked about, Sarah, maybe you're familiar even with a congressman named Buck McKeon.
Oh, yeah.
You know him at all?
Yeah, he's a California guy.
From Southern California, yeah. And he was in Congress.
I certainly don't know him personally.
Well, all right. But I'm not exactly sure where he's from, but he's from somewhere in Southern California. I don't know if it's Orange County, but he's from down there somewhere. And he was in Congress from 1993 to 2015. And in his last 4 years, he was the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. And if you were to look at his campaign contributors, it's like a who's who of the military-industrial complex. Or I guess I should say that since I don't consider corporations to be people, maybe we could call it a what's what instead of a who's who. But you have Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, General Atomics, General Dynamics, Boeing, and if you went further down the list, you'd find some of these other players. And if you look just at these five companies between them, they donated almost $700,000 to his election campaigns between 1991 and 2014. And those are the years tracked by one of the groups that tracks this sort of thing. He retired last year. He did not run for re-election. And shortly after he retired, he opened up a political consulting firm, the Buck McKeon Group, and he just got his first contract with a company called Aerojet Rocketdyne, which describes itself as a world-recognized aerospace and defense leader, providing propulsion and energetics to the space, missile defense, strategic, tactical missile, and armaments areas in support of domestic and international markets. So that's just an example of the way the system works. Now, of course, President Eisenhower warned about this in his famous speech in 1961, where he warned about the growing influence, the unwarranted influence of the military-industrial complex. He talked about a disastrous rise of misplaced power that will persist. And he was right on the mark, and 54 years later, it's basically gotten worse. Right. So that's one example just to talk about. He talked about a confluence, a conjunction of power between the arms industry and politics. And we could see another conjunction of power, of misplaced power right now between profits, politics, and prisons, where a great and unfortunate example of that right now is the fact that so many of our prisons in this country are actually run by for-profit firms. And in recent years, this has been especially the case for the prisons that incarcerate immigrants who are picked up by the immigration police. More than 60% right now of the immigrants who are being held are held in private prisons. And it turns out that there's even so far still little known factor in the federal budget. We call it the detention bed quota. And it says that there are supposed to be 34,000 immigrants being held, or up to 34,000 immigrants being held in prison on a daily basis. And when 60% of those are being held in places where corporations are making money from it, and when those corporations are able to and do, in fact, recycle the profits into expensive lobbyists and into campaign contributions, that creates the type of cycle that keeps this system in business. And that's the sort of thing that we're talking about when we talk about our project, which we call Governing Under the Influence.